Here we go. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. If you find us disarming, we hope it's because we're charming and not because our baseball skills are alarming. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mackin, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
And that's I'm right. Odo Harmon Jr. My bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, you're good. Do it. I say you do it. We got a guest today, everybody. We got a very special guest here. Take it away, Odell.
I'm Odo Harmon Jr. You can find me at Odo Harmon Jr. on all social media. I made it simple.
Brilliant. Yeah. Welcome. It's great to have you here, Odell. For folks listening who may be unfamiliar or maybe are familiar, you've maybe heard his voice on other podcasts or seen his words in print in various publications, but he's here. You're here, Odell, basking in the glory of the 90s with us. And I guess I'm sort of curious what any sort of fond memories or experiences with this show. We always like to ask our guests that. So what's your sort of mileage with Hey Arnold?
I watched it growing up in the, you know, mid late 90s. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And then, it came back for that movie not too long ago on Netflix, and it was straight garbage. So I'm glad we're not talking about that. That's my stance on it. But other than that, I was so happy when, I don't know if y'all get Teen Nick on extended cable, but every night on Teen Nick around 9 p.m. my local time, it turns into 90s Nick, and, you know, it's just a good time. And I kind of rewatched the whole series starting like 2019 is when I discovered it. I don't know if that's when they started doing it. That's when I noticed it. And then I feel like all of 2020, I marathoned the whole series again, along with a couple other shows. But now there's Paramount Plus, but I did it before that, so I feel special.
As you should. Paramount Plus, you heard it here, sponsor us, and we'll give you more plugs. I think that's the first time that streaming service has come up. There's a first time for everything, I suppose. But yeah, it's really great having you here. Should also note that with us today in the well, as well in the well with us is our resident super producer and part-time crooner, Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. K-Line digs in at the plate. A trip to the World Series on the line. He's down 0-2. Let's see if Morris comes back with some heat. Here comes the pitch. And K-Line hits a rocket to right. My, oh my! If it's fair, it's gone. Back, 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 back. It's kids spelled with a Z. Just putting that out there. Today we're here to talk about episode 47 of Hey Arnold. And for those of you keeping track at home, that is season 3, episode 7, going by production code order. And we're going to start with episode A, 47A, which is called Dangerous Lumber. Original air date September 2nd, 1998. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Arnold has a lethal baseball bat swing, causing him to unintentionally knock out other players, so he decides never to play the sport again, mere days before a baseball game against the fifth graders. And shout out to Ron Perlman back reprising the voice of Mickey K-Line, and shout out as well to the other people who helped make this episode possible. I should say we have a lot of new folks to the various directors and writers seats. Shrim Cohen is back. Shrim Cohen is a veteran of the show, veteran of the director's chair, but Frank Weiss is not. Frank Weiss gets co-director credit rather for this episode. And we got two new writers, John D. Beck and Ron Hart, both their first co-writing credits for the show. So shout outs to everybody. And I've talked enough for now. Shout outs also to Harry, who I'm going to throw to first. Harry, what did you think about Dangerous Lumber?
Hey, thanks, Cody. That was maybe your best kids with a Z yet. that was like right up there for me. When we look back on this show and like rank those, that'll be right up there for me. I really, really like this episode. It's got like a big season three energy, which is something that's still sort of nebulous for me, but I'm coming to define it as like, it's like a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more comfortable being the sort of like zany, offbeat sense of humor that Hey Arnold is sort of, typified by. We didn't see a lot, or we see that humor sort of develop over the series, and it's really here, right? We're like, it's hitting a lot of the hallmarks of what makes Hey Arnold episodes funny, which is just like really, really solid utilization of its characters, both background and foreground. Like, you get so many great moments with all of the characters you've come to know and love, like from Harold and Helga, who have big roles in this episode, to the big cameo by Mickey Kaline, where he reprises his role from season one, and has a similar role here, and it's really impactful. But even sort of like, there's a great grandpa scene here, there's a great grandma scene. She doesn't have any lines, but she's still great in it. And even the Jolly Ollie man shows up to be the referee, which is like maybe the worst referee you could possibly have, which I really loved here. But beyond all of that, what I really liked about this episode is something that Nikki Horowitz brought up in our episode on What's Opera Arnold, which is like this sort of malingering anxiety that Arnold has, that he has to be somebody who does not take up space, right? Like he is only valuable insofar as he is this sort of like force of healing, or this force of sort of like reconciliation among his friend group. And he's very self-conscious about being a burden on other people, right? Or doing things that put other people in either inconvenience or, in this case, like a really comical harm's way. And watching Arnold reconcile with that and have to sort of come to terms with the fact that he has to face his fears, even when his fears aren't really about himself, but are about his capacity to inconvenience or harm other people, is like a really like sort of understated but profound character arc for Arnold to go on. And it's interesting, right? Because for a show called Hey Arnold, I feel like we don't see a ton of Arnold's own interior anxieties, right? Like, instead, he helps the other kids with theirs. So I found that, like, Arnold going outside to find a mentor in the form of Mickey Kaline and confront this part of himself, it's dealt with in this characteristically like super comic and funny way. But it's like, it's an episode with like legitimate legs, and it's an episode that got me kind of like in the heart. Right at the end, when Arnold is sort of like finally relaxed again, right? And he can go back to Gerald Field and he can recount his stories, and he doesn't feel like he has to be an outcast because of the way that he plays or who he is, right? So it's an episode that, like a lot of Hey Arnold episodes, I think it has like unexpected depths to it, but it's also just very funny and very fun to watch. Like the shot when he cranks that Homer out of Gerald Field and it smashes the sign, and the sign says "Holy cow!" It's just great stuff. Mickey Kaline saying "Easy squeezy lemon peasy," hilarious. So yeah, I just think that this is like a really great episode. I think that Hey Arnold does baseball episodes better than just about anything has ever done baseball episodes, and this is no exception. But I'm very, very excited to hear what you all thought as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think somebody who, on that note, you mentioned the Jolly Ollie man, somebody I would trust to be a very neutral third party umpire is Emily Sui. So Emily, and a fear struck my heart as I during that bit. I feel like I mispronounced your last name for the first time in years. But Emily, I'll let you give your thoughts about this episode. Pry me away from this.
Yeah, it's Sui with a Z, of course. No, I liked Harry talking about, well, first of all, the baseball umpire was called a referee, I believe, a few times. But yeah, Jolly Ollie Man was a great umpire. But yeah, I also like Harry talking about the energy of season three being such a part of this one, because I was thinking about how this kind of feels like a great mashup of the first two seasons of the show, just especially because obviously Hey Arnold has this love for baseball, and we've seen quite a few baseball-centric episodes with The Baseball with Mickey Kaline in it. We've seen The Vacant Lot, which is referenced a ton in this one. But we've also seen a lot of like other sports focused episodes like basketball, football, bowling, dodgeball, fishing have all been like a part of a major episode as well. But like I think it's cool that Harold has this clear love for baseball specifically. So yeah, it felt like a nice, fun, and really funny mashup to me of the first two seasons, and then bringing back in Mickey Kaline from the first season that we saw him in, where he has like his legendary role, is obviously a huge role model and icon to Arnold, and they have such a sentimental time, like playing catch and talking over the baseball episode in the first season. So to see that come full circle, where Arnold gets a chance to talk to him and like tell him his own baseball story about having dangerous lumber and everything like that, was very sweet. I really liked the ending. But yeah, I think this one in general too is just full of a ton of funny visual gags and like slapstick comedies throughout, because of Arnold having dangerous lumber of just hitting everyone with the baseball and the bat over and over. And yeah, also just a lot of great memorable lines and reads, because I kept writing them down. There's so many, and I feel like every character, especially the main characters, all have like really memorable lines in this one at least once. It's like Helga with her, "Yeah, great plan, Geraldo," and Gerald saying, "We're ready for you, Bubba," to Wolfgang, who I guess Wolfgang's even in this one. There's so many people in this too. So it does feel kind of like a greatest hits episode of Hey Arnold, and I love it for that. And yeah, I think it's fun, has a good message, and it's just sweet with the ending of Arnold and Mickey Kaline playing catch and sharing stories.
That's right. And sharing takes like we are now. I guess the next takes, I would like to hear, Odell, I'd love to hear from you. How did this episode hit you? Not literally in the case of Arnold doing it with his bat, but just like more figuratively.
You know, after hearing all these lovely, you know, remembering of this episode, I feel bad, because I remember when I was younger, I thought this episode was dumb. And then I watched it as an adult and I was like, this is dumb. Arnold is making all the wrong decisions. And I'll explain my line of thinking. So they're playing the fifth graders, Wolfgang. These people who are notoriously not nice to them. Can we all remember Trash Can Day? I mean, I feel like I would never forget that as long as I lived. And you are upset that y'all going to play this team that has, you know, would honestly, if they had dangerous lumber, would have used it against you 150%. And he's all like, nah, I can't use it. It's too dangerous. This, if there's one team, Arnold, to use dangerous lumber against, it's this team. If you're playing the kindergartners, the nice old neighborhood association, I get it. I got it. But when they were playing Wolfgang, I was with everyone else. I was like, this is a great thing. This, you know, it's all about perspective. And right now, this is like, I mean, this is just reaping what you sow in my book. I'd have been like, the Lord has blessed you with this talent right now for a specific reason. You were heralded on justice, and he refused to do it. I don't know why. I mean, I guess he's a good kid. But also, he like, you know, karate chops someone's pants off. So he picks interesting moments. That's all I can really say on that.
Man, that's is a remarkably good point, I must say. I mean, like, it's Wolfgang. Like, who cares if you beat Wolfgang? He's the worst. Right.
Like, no redeeming qualities. But I will say this episode had a lot of tropes that I like. It did, like, the classic, like, man, how am I going to solve this problem? Hey, guys, I'm on this TV, and I'm conveniently located across the shop, the street from this TV shop. I love when they do things like that. Back in the 90s, that was, like, everywhere. I don't know why people thought that was hilarious, because it is. Good job, everybody. And I love how Mickey Kaline is so, I guess, aware of the place he lives. He's like, man, we're playing these fifth graders, Wolfgang, huh? He's like, yeah, in the vacant lot, Gerald's Field. And it's like, and I got dangerous lumber. I love that whole shtick that they had there. And that, you know, he wasn't, you know, in the bathroom because of the K-line dogs or whatever they were called. So I guess, you know, should avoid those. But yeah, the whole episode, little me was like, so at the end of the episode, I expected to see Wolfgang get, like, bopped. But, you know, it was Mickey Kaline, and it ended sweet. But that just frustrated me to no end. I just wanted them to play someone that I didn't want to get hit, because it would have made more sense to me. But in that, still hilarious.
Man, that's, yeah, that rules. I was not expecting that take, but honestly, I'm coming around. That seems like the correct one. And you can, honestly, the fact that this happened to, that this whole thing happened to Arnold and not one of the other characters, one of the other characters, you could bet, would have treated it as like, wow, I have this jinx, this fantastically realistic, weird power where I just happen to, you know, bean anybody who is in front of this baseball's trajectory, which, by the way, if you're a good enough baseball player, you can control where you hit it. You know, Arnold's pretending like this is random, pure chance. It's like, nah, if he were an actual athlete, he'd be like, I think the thing he's wrestling with upon, you know, further reflection is that he is trying to suppress that deep down urge to beam that punk Wolfgang in the face. Right? I mean, either that or he's just really bad at baseball.
Yeah, it's like what if Arnold has the killer instinct inside of him and that's what he's trying to control? It's like he is controlling it. It's just that he can't control that part of himself that wants it. That's quite a take, Cody.
Yeah, and I guess if I'm to bring it back to maybe something more I don't know. I'm just thinking about Craig Bartlett writing this episode now and just rubbing his hands together. Wolfgang's going to finally get it. And then somebody pulls him back at the last. I know he didn't get writer's credit for this, but yeah, I mean, you can count on a show like Hey Arnold to reframe things like jinxes or those the fantastical realism of this. Or even like, you know, somebody like we don't get a ton of Mickey Kaline in the show from here on out, if memory serves, maybe like a cameo appearance here and there. I can't remember if Ron Perlman comes back to reprise the voice, but like reframing Mickey Kaline, even if just for an episode, as like this like neighborhood icon, this, I mean, cause he was one of the best baseball players in the world and then he retired and now he's just this like folksy on the corner hot dog baron of the city of Hillwood. Really nice, funny reframing for, and like Odell was saying, the just like, don't you mean Gerald Field? Oh yeah, dangerous lumber. Just like him being in the know, that adds to the what everybody's saying about how humorous this show is, even to the point where I think like some wall has been broken down. And so, not that I was resistant to laughing at these before, but like just Harold baby talking Arnold in like taunting form. She's like, I was audibly chuckling at that at the beginning of this episode for no reason whatsoever. Just something about the energy of this episode. Yeah, I don't, really fun. I mean, I'm a sucker for a good sports episode, as we all know. So this was always going to be a winner in my book.
Yeah, the moment that Odell mentioned is definitely my favorite. And I love the like world building of that too. Like you said, Cody, where it's like, this is like the second life of Mickey Kaline. Now he's this like amiable neighborhood character. And I love the implication that like, we're going to get this from like all of the characters that we've seen, is that they're all just sort of like in orbit around each other and like mixing up this community. I think my favorite, or my second favorite joke of the episode was when Arnold's alone in the Mickey Kaline dog dog pound, and Mickey Kaline walks over to him and he's like, hey kid, you don't look so good. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm dealing with this stuff. And he goes, it's not the hot dog, guys. That was extremely good to me.
Yeah, honestly, I guess thinking one other thing that a lot of folks brought up was just how it seems like not all the characters, but there were a lot of characters to be found in this episode. I'd be curious if there are any that folks latched onto or liked in particular. I'd love to hear what ones kind of stood out to people. I particularly liked seeing Ernie back, and he sort of, not just more than just like a, you know, a line, you know, he had basically a whole scene where he was sort of pitching this idea to Arnold to like help shake him of, you know, this jinx he's been having. He brings him to the batting cages. It's nice to see Ernie back in the fold. I don't know if anybody else had like the character shout outs or just even if it was somebody you saw in the background. No Lorenzo this episode from what I could tell. So we don't get him or his oil, which is kind of a bummer.
No, I believe that Lorenzo's gone. He's like Gonzo. We're never going to see that dude again, man. Which brutal. I really love the batting cage sequence, especially like when Arnold hits the ball into the batting machine, and then it blows up like it's a musket that exploded from the inside, right? Like the metal like curves out. That's such a funny image to me, and like it's hitting all the kids with balls. I feel like luck is a really interesting through line in Hey Arnold, what with Eugene and everything, but so that's all really interesting. I think that like my favorite character moments in this were just, and it will probably come as no surprise, but like Helga has so many good lines in this, especially when she's taunting Arnold for having dangerous lumber. She calls him Scud, as in a heat seeking missile, the Scud from the like Iran-Contra war. What else does she say? She says something like, oh, here comes Arnold the assassin. She says that too. So yeah, I mean, this is just a really great episode for like, again, that sort of sense that like there are more stories that are happening in here. Even if Arnold himself sort of fails to respond to the call to action in this one, perhaps.
Yeah, I also really liked Harold's line, which I think was just the once with the easy squeezy lemon peasy. But that line has stuck with me since I first saw this as a kid. And then Mickey Kaline repeats it at the end. So I don't know. That was a great one, I thought. And when Wolfgang showed up, I honestly was not even prepared for that. So I really liked Odell's take on how they should have really used the dangerous lumber against Wolfgang and the fifth graders. Because, yeah, man, the feud between the fourth graders and the fifth graders is so significant.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know what I find really interesting as we're going over moments? So, you know, Arnold has his here comes the cavalry moment, you know, hits the homer, wins the game. But if you think about it, they were down one run, weren't they? Like, the fourth graders were completely holding their own. You think it would have been like we're down, you know, four, bases loaded, you know, grand slam wins the game. But no, they were down a single run. I'm like, you know, realistically, they might have won that without him. They just had to bring somebody home. I mean, at least to tie it.
Yeah, that was an element of this episode I forgot too, where it's like, yeah, they were within, right, like the winning run was on base or something like that, or like whoever would have stepped up to play. Yeah, it was by and large a pretty close, yeah, encounter. Yeah, they just need to believe in themselves. He needs to redistribute the dangerous lumber, pass it on to somebody else, I think is the solution.
You know, now that I'm thinking about this, this is kind of a trope that's been emerging, particularly in season three, where like, you know, Arnold, he's our boy. We love him dearly. He's also kind of annoying sometimes. I actually really like that about this show. Like, it's not framed this way at all in this episode, but I kind of like the idea that it's like, Arnold should just get over himself. It's like, stop being such a goody two shoes and just like, show up for your friends, dog. Like, what are you doing? Like, why aren't you? It's Wolfgang, right? There really is sort of like a secondary read there that I like quite a bit. And it sort of further characterizes Arnold as this imperfect person, right? This sort of character who has his own anxieties and troubles. And I really like that, especially as sort of foregrounding for where we're going to go later in the season with Lila and everything else.
For sure. Yeah, that honestly, they should have gotten Arnold harder about that. Just like, oh, you're not going to show up to the game? What are you going to do otherwise? Stare wistfully outside of your glass ceiling bedroom on your nice couch that folds out from the wall?
Well, and he's like that. He's so self-important about it too. He's like, no matter how much I love baseball, I'm just too dangerous for the game. And it's like, all right, guy, like you're a fourth grader. You're not killing anybody with your errant swings. I don't know.
Wait until he starts lifting though. Then it gets really dangerous. I feel like I'm about tapped for this episode. Any other shout outs or lingering thoughts that people want to get in before we close out Dangerous Lumber? I'll open up the floor to anybody.
Who paid for that billboard?
The Hollywood Cow Farm billboard. I did write that down too. My shout outs go to the groove remote, which is used throughout this episode. It's so good. It's just such a freaking awesome song. And I feel like it's the best melancholy specific song that I could even think of. So yeah, shout out to Jim Lang and shout out to Eugene, because he's coming up to the fellas and he's like, guys, I have good news. The doctor says I'll have my full memory back in a few weeks, which, like, oh my God, he got hit so hard. He was lost his sense of memory for weeks. It's awful. And then he falls into the hole and is like, I'm okay. Which I think is maybe a reoccurring Eugene thing.
Oh yeah, very much so.
So funny. Also, I guess the one last one. Sorry, Harry. No worries. That Grandpa says weapon of mass destruction at one point in this episode. And so I had to look this up, and this episode aired in September of 1998. But that's kind of wild. Just had to mention it.
Yeah, there are a lot of references to military-grade armaments in this episode between the weapons of mass destruction and the Scud missiles. I would like to say, sort of piggybacking off of Emily, like, shout-outs to the wildly deep holes that apparently are in constant construction around Hillwood. I don't, like, what are those? How come there's, like, a subterranean world beneath Hillwood that these construction workers are constantly, like, drilling down toward? And so, like maybe patch those up better so Eugene stops falling into them. It's like multiple times. It's weird. It's weird that Eugene has fallen into multiple story holes in his own neighborhood multiple times. Something should be done. I guess what I'm saying is that when Mr. Green is going to run for local office to fix up potholes, he's got my vote in a future episode.
Dang, Hillwood politics. You love to see it, hear it. Well, yeah, I think as Eugene, preceding his fall into the hole, he says something like, what a pretty sign. And of course, he's referring to the sign that it's time for us to pivot to the latter half of this episode. We've got another half inning to go. I switched metaphors there. But yeah, there's more to come. So don't touch that dial, and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Episode 47B is here to play us a little tune, and that tune is called Mr. Wynn Goes Country. Yeah, original air date September 2nd, 1998. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Mr. Wynn has a talent for country singing, so Arnold and Gerald, after recording a CD with him at the local studio, become his managers and make him a big star, much to his dislike. Their biggest gig is on stage at the, and this description says Grand Ole Opry. I'm pretty sure it's the Great Ole Opry in the episode. Get on it, Wikipedia. The Grand Ole Opry, in scare quotes, Mr. Wynn's favorite show. Mr. Wynn must decide to become world famous and go on tour or not. And it should be noted, we had a special voice guest star in Episode A. Episode B has Randy Travis as the voice of not only the character Travis Randall, but also as Mr. Wynn's singing voice. So pulling double duty there. And once again, shouting out the other fine folks who made this episode possible by means of directors and writers. The director of this episode was Star Cowell, and the co-writers, we've got a couple veterans in the co-writer seats, Steve Vixton and Joseph Purdy, a.k.a. the Purd Man, as he is infamously known by only those of us here. I will kick it to Emily first this time. Emily, what did you think about Mr. Wynn going country?
Yes, thank you for asking, Cody. I think this episode rules. I think it's so good. I love the song, especially. We had I Saw Your Face and Wow earlier in this season with Ronnie Matthews, of course, the pop star. And now we have Mr. Wynn with a hit country and western song. So I think season three is off to a really nice musical start so far. And yeah, I love that the lyrics too in Mr. Wynn's song here, the simple things, just like point directly to what is going to happen in this episode. Pretty much just spells it out for us. And like, you can kind of see what's coming with the irony of, well, he wants the simple things. That's what he's saying. That's what he's singing about. We just heard him singing in the shower. Like, he's just doing this because he enjoys it and not because he has any other motives. He just simply likes singing and he likes country music. But I feel like, yeah, the lyrics point directly towards what's going to happen in the episode. So that kind of leads into a fast-paced episode two, where just a lot can happen because of that song and those lyrics. And I think that's pretty neat. I really like seeing Arnold and Gerald in their full cowboy attire with the cowboy hats and cowboy shirts and belts and boots. The 10-gallon hat on Gerald and the tiny little cowboy hat in between Arnold's blonde hair where his blue cap is usually, so funny. But yeah, it's just like a very fun episode, really good song. As I said, it's a song that'll get stuck in your head, and like I would honestly put on after we finish recording this if I had it on Spotify or what have you. But yeah, it's also just a blast to see everyone and respond so lovingly to this song. Like the whole neighborhood and all the kids and everybody just loves this song because it's so good. And you see Mr. Wynn stay true to himself, which is just, you know, no, I want the simple things and I just want to do this thing on my own time, because I like it, but not because, you know, I want to be famous or anything. So I really like to, at the end with him saying at the great old Opry, that it was going to be his final show and everything. And like, oh, that's too bad. But that also makes that final show very special, like his first and last performance ever. And it also reminded me of the Beatles documentary, because I just watched that recently, but the Get Back documentary where they have their final rooftop concert, because at the very end of this episode, we see Mr. Wynn singing the song to just Arnold and just the two of them on the roof alone. And we have that really nice pan away, so you can see him from far away on the roof of the boarding house. And I just think that's really nice. And it also lets us hear the full song at the end too, because there's like not a lot going on with the animation there, but it's kind of just a chance for us to like sit and enjoy that song, which is the star of this entire episode, really. And yeah, great to have Randy Travis performing the song and playing himself essentially as, was it Travis Randall, or his name is reversed?
Yeah. Fun with double first names, that character is.
Yeah. But it's also just so funny to me how fast everything happens. And I'm excited to hear everyone else's thoughts too. But like just seeing the whole universe of Hey Arnold in the country western realm, like Dolly Parton's portrait on the wall and all of that, is very cool.
Yeah, indeed it is. Up next, this is Nashville Ned. Up next, we've got a song from Harry Mackin, and the song is called His Takes About the Episode. Harry, take it away.
I can't believe they brought back that radio guy that Emily hates so much. I freaked out when I saw that. I like this episode also. I have weird feelings about it, right? Because like I think that the high highs and like the overall arc of this episode is like one of the strongest in maybe the series. Like I think Mr. Wynn is like one of the most soulful characters and one of my favorites in terms of like being like, this is a kid show, but like he is such a deep like adult character, and I really, really love to like follow his arc, and all of his episodes are inflected with that deep soulfulness. I think that really helps bring it out. I've also had this song stuck in my head for like 20 years. My dad sings it all the time, just like to himself while he's doing dishes and stuff. It's very cute.
Wow.
Like I made this, and I hate to shout out my own jokes on but like it leave it to Hey Arnold to make a great episode out of something that is like essentially kind of a microaggression, right? Like this is a racially inflected episode, right? Like at one point Arnold says a very out of character thing where he's like, oh, when Mr. Wynn talks, you can barely understand what he's saying, but when he sings, and it's like, Arnold, what? Like that was a wildly, weirdly insensitive thing for you to say about that guy. And that is sort of like, unfortunately, in my opinion, and maybe this isn't like that big a deal actually, but like the sort of like overall irony or joke of this episode is that an Asian American couldn't or shouldn't be interested in country music, and therefore it is funny and ironic that Mr. Wynn both has an interest in it and is good at it. And it's like, okay, like that's all bad. Like that's a bad thing to say. What works for it though, in my opinion, is that like it is also almost this confrontation with like that racial microaggression, in the sense that like Arnold and Gerald, it's debatable how much they actually confront this, but they sort of demean Mr. Nguyen himself, right? Like the whole reason why they want him to be famous is to get money, but it's also like, at least for Arnold, it's like, because that must be a better life than what Mr. Nguyen has, right? Like the implication is that like, oh, Mr. Nguyen living by himself in a boarding house and working at a restaurant, he can't possibly be happy with that. He must want to be rich and famous the way I want to be rich and famous, because that is what people want. And it is such a shock to them that like Mr. Nguyen is actually happy where he is, right? And like that he doesn't need the sort of like external validation that maybe we all are more like conditioned to want or need. And so like it's a beautiful episode for that, right? But it is sort of like it's founded on this semi like, if not racist, then sort of like uncomfortable joke about, or like irony that is coming from a place that I'm not sure it should be coming from. So that is all interesting, but I also like, or it's sort of interesting to consider, I should say, but this episode is still triumphant in my mind because of what it does with Mr. Nguyen's character, and because that song is so good. It's so good.
It's a hot take. It's so good. Odell, do you think that song is so good, or are we off base? Also, anything else you might want to comment?
Oh, no, it's 10 out of 10. I'm not the biggest country music fan, but I know it sounds good, and that sounds good. You know, I think that's actually a quote from the episode, something to that effect of, I know it sounds good. But I guess I want to talk about, you know, the racial microaggressions, but while it's still fresh in my mind, I thought you brought up an excellent point, because I remember thinking the same thing that both Gerald and Arnold were wrong to Mr. Nguyen for different reasons. Gerald, just from the, he just saw dollar signs. He was like, bro, I don't care if you're happy, not happy, what, bro, just sing and we go cut these checks. Like, I think Gerald would be on the mindset, if you don't want the money, I will take the money. Which is something interesting we see in Gerald's character, you know, when he sold watches and just other money maneuvers he makes. And then, you know, Arnold's assumption that Mr. Nguyen isn't happy, and, you know, he comes to learn that. And, you know, when you were talking about it, makes me think about once we get the backstory with Mr. Nguyen from the Christmas special, it puts it really in perspective for you then, too, because of what he fled from and what, you know, he was trying to come. Like, he just, you know, like he said, he has a job at the restaurant. He has friends, people who care about him. He has a roof over his head. Like, what more do you need in life? And it's like, dang, deep. You know, like every good cartoon should. But I have a huge gripe with this episode. And it may be dumb. And it's a gripe that I have with the whole series in general. Something I didn't notice until I started rewatching it as an adult. So the kids are in fourth grade, which, if I remember correctly, I was like 9 or 10 in the fourth grade. And the things they do throughout this series, like staying out to midnight, going to dances, getting cabs. Yeah. And like this one, how many layers of people did they have to go through in that radio station? Like, I'm, forget the incompetent DJ who I also don't like. I'm like the front desk person, some offices outside the actual recording studio. I'm just like, how? Like, I really feel like they should have been at least sixth grade, maybe seventh. Or whatever grade those girls, the hot girls, are in. What grade are they in? Are they sixth graders?
They're sixth graders, I believe. Yeah,
that sounds right.
Yeah, maybe that, because like they at least have the height. I'm like, what? Who is letting a 9, possibly 10-year-old into all these places? But it's a cartoon. I digress. But no,
like they are fully his managers. They're like handling his money and stuff. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm with you.
But yeah, like that's just something that just always, so I even let the DJ thing go, but yeah, that's the part I'm like, okay, y'all are giving these kids, I don't know, at least a couple thousand, maybe not millions, but more than I probably make in a year. But yeah. But to the good points, you know, the song is great, and just you know, it was one of those things. I remember when I was younger, like so I thought to myself, and this little funny story, like when Mr. Nguyen was talking about how he has, you know, the restaurant and food and stuff, And I remember thinking, I was like, if I had like a mountain of McDonald's chicken nuggets, I think I'd be happy. I think I wouldn't need nothing else in life. I get it. I get it, Mr. Wynn. And then from that moment on, I've always wanted like a literal mountain of McDonald's chicken nuggets, but not anymore because they changed the formula. So I need to go back in time and get like the pre-2010 when the world had to be healthy chicken nuggets, because those were the best.
Did they really change the formula? Wait, maybe I didn't eat enough chicken nuggets because I was always more of a burger guy. But I was going to say, like, actually at like 29 years old, that is also me. I'm like, if I had just a mountain of chicken nuggets, I think I'd probably be all right.
See, you get it. It makes sense. I'm not insane.
I was unfamiliar with the formula change, though. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, you remember when the world was all against trans fats and, you know, corn syrup was like, you know, killing kids in high schools. I mean, not really, but, you know, it was the reason for everything wrong with the world. It was around that era.
Yeah, back to a time before the fake documentary Supersize Me, and then the world had felt it had to change their ways with regards to, yeah, food chemistry. No, that's, I miss it too. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of really good stuff. And I think my own, like, sort of, I think very valid points about like microaggressions and like this having, I think, Harry, the way you put it, just like this has like a weird, this episode has a very weird foundation to it, and it makes for like ultimately like a really beautiful banger of a song, like one of the best, I mean Jim Lang notwithstanding, like one of the best sort of tracks to come from the series that we've hit so far. And you know, there are a lot of really beautiful moments. It's like, it's almost like the show, we've hit a lot of like cautionary tales lately. I mean, Dangerous Lumber is like kind of what it has, this weird sort of like fable aspect of like, there's something, there's this power you're wielding that like, you're not quite sure what to do with it. You're unsure of like what your next step should be. And Mr. Wynn Going Country is like kind of its own cautionary tale of like, not, and he knows it from the get go. It's not necessarily his lesson to learn. It's just us, you know, bearing witness to it. And like Stinky Going Hollywood was also a bit of this from a different perspective as well. Right. But like the Craig Bartlett and friends, they're almost need to be like, you know, we want to show you that it's okay to like not want what other people might characteristically think you would want, or that like they want, you know, like, you know, Odell, like you said, like Gerald saw dollar signs right away. He prophesized the entire arc of the episode from the get go. And Mr. Wynn was like, yeah, I don't like that. That doesn't make me happy. It was like, no, let's take you through the entire trajectory of this arc. And it's like, oh, and you're still not happy. Okay, well, there you go. We figured it out. So yeah, I don't know if like maybe that left, you know, the seeing sort of what act in their mind, what act two and act three were to be like, maybe that's just, I don't know, not to try to explain it away, because there are some things, especially looking at it now with an older person's perspective. I'm older than when I saw this as a kid, and also love this episode, and I still love it now. But yeah, some things definitely sit a little more sourly. And ultimately, I think we can conclude, you know, the real takeaway from this episode. I mean, this just explains why, you know, we don't have a Patreon. You know, we just love talking about Hey Arnold. You know, we just love podding. It would all the joy would be taken out of it, you know, if we started making money from it. By the way, McDonald's, if you're listening, we just talked about your nuggies. Send us a line, will you?
We're also, we're like Arnold, where we're too dangerous for the game. You know, if we were on Patreon, it would be all over for everybody. We got to give them some space to establish themselves. I was wondering, with what you were saying, Cody, I think that there are so many good inroads in this episode, right? Like, I think that first of all, like the Arnold of it all, where it's like he is sort of like being demeaning to Mr. Wynn in this well-meaning, characteristically Arnold way. There's an episode in a half just there, right? Where Arnold has to realize that like sometimes like helping people is not about projecting what they want onto them. It's about really understanding what they want and doing what you can, even if that's like stepping away and leaving things alone. Also, like Mr. Wynn's arc in this is like a Robert Altman movie, right? Where it's like, I would love to watch like a full thing about a country singer who like didn't want fame and sort of like stumbled into it and it like, it screwed up his life and he wanted out, right? It's like, that's an awesome arc. So I almost wonder if it's like, was this just, it was like too much episode for like, what, I mean, what is this episode like? With the song at the end, which they perform the entire song, which is like 3 minutes long. This must have been like a 10 minutes of non-song content, right? It's like a, it's a wildly breezy episode, like Emily said. And I wonder if it just like, I would have loved to have seen some of those baked in further, but that's just a sign that like they were onto something, I guess, that I want more.
Yeah, I feel like they sort of touch on the racist microaggressions too, just with the mispronouncing his name at the Great Ole Opry. And they laugh, like the people laugh at him as soon as he walks into the recording studio, and it's like, oh, like this is all terrible. But this episode could have definitely benefited, it seems, the more we're talking about it, from them specifically calling that out. I mean, like, no, actually, this is why this is messed up. This is why this is like, you know, microaggressions against Mr. Nguyen for no reason, just because he's being stereotyped here as someone who can't like country music or wouldn't be someone you'd expect to like country music or to be good at it. So I feel like, yeah, this would have been stronger if they had taken a second, maybe even just a back and forth between Arnold and him or something where it's called out more specifically instead of just like, in those small moments where we're like, oh, that sucks, but it's not addressed, you know?
You know what's really interesting about Arnold as a character? You know, I think there's one episode I could think about where, you know, Helga calls him out for being, you know, a busybody and always in someone's business. But I think this is one of the few times where Arnold was truly in the wrong. Usually, you know, when we have the stories where Arnold tries to stay out of someone's business, the trope is they ultimately need Arnold. Like, oh, you know, I don't want your help, but oh, crap, I find myself in a situation that would really benefit from you being here. This is one of those situations where he gets involved, and at the end, he was just truly in the wrong from A to Z. And I just think that's interesting because right time, I can't think of another episode because the trope usually is, you know, oh, well, he learned a lesson, but also was still needed. Versus this case where he was never needed at all. Like the episode, everything would have been great if he just stayed out of it from the get go and left it at that.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly right. And that's why I kind of wanted to see more reconciliation about that, right? Like kind of to your point too, Emily, but specifically about the way that like Arnold is being a busybody here, right? Like he is involving himself in Mr. Nguyen's life in a way that Mr. Nguyen doesn't really want. And Mr. Nguyen is like kind of too polite to turn him down. And I would have loved to have sort of seen some sort of reckoning with that, where it's like, okay, Arnold, like, why did you think that this was the right thing to do? Like, what made you feel the need to intervene in this way, right? Like, was it like Gerald? Did you see dollar signs? Or like, did you think it was really what was best for Mr. Nguyen? But instead, like, there's not really like any acknowledgement that what Arnold did was wrong because he course corrects so quickly, right? Like he is immediately like, well, Mr. Nguyen doesn't want that. And if he doesn't want it, that's fine. And then he's like, yes, he doesn't even say like, I'm sorry, Mr. Nguyen. I'm sorry that you have to perform in front of all of these people and that you're a celebrity now at your job. So people ask you for your autograph and you can't get any work done. It's like, I don't know. I think Odell, you're right. It's like Arnold is like, he's wrong and it's like not a trivial thing, right? It's like, I think that the episode sort of like tries to make this point that like, because Arnold was well-intentioned, the harm that he did is not really a problem, but it's like, I'm not really comfortable with that, right? It's interesting, but like, I think that, I wonder if that was just not what they were looking at, right? If they just wanted the Mr. Nguyen arc, which like, it's enough of an arc on its own. So I can totally see that. But yeah, I mean, it was just sort of like, it's another one of those things that sort of like, I wish we had more time with that.
Agreed. And like, depending on how they wanted, or I guess kind of like what you were saying, like depending on how they wanted to like frame it, depending on what sort of like emotional or thematic beats they wanted to lean on, like there's feasibly something else they could do with, you know, like the additional 30 to 90 seconds, you know, if they didn't play the entire song at the end, for example. And like to Emily's point, I think it was Emily who you called out that like seeing the entire city, you know, that montage of them listening to Mr. Wynn's song and, you know, bopping along, snapping their fingers. And like that, I'm always that's another thing that I'm always a sucker for, just like seeing that sort of unified experience over, you know, cutesy montage like that. I'm all about it. And when we stop and look back at it, it's like, oh, like, I mean, that montage was brought about and was followed by, you know, a different montage of Mr. Wynn going through the trials of being a superstar and being visibly sad about the process. And that's like, you know, if they wanted to like spend an extra 30 seconds and really like lean on that or hammer that home that like, you know, these people are, you know, really undervaluing this man, and it's wrong that, you know, that they, I don't know, don't expect him to be happy in his current job, which he seems to really enjoy and like want to get back to. He talks about it all the time. Or yeah, the fact that like, you know, him doing this thing that he does when he, you know, is, you know, in the shower is all of a sudden he's making his livelihood out of it. And that's not for him. So yeah, I don't know, any one of those directions that if they did want to lean on it, I wouldn't have been opposed, but they're like enough of the pieces are there for me to be like, okay, like I can imagine what type of, you know, any number of like different flavors of episodes, if, you know, they wanted to pepper in, you know, some supporting sequences or whatever it is they wanted to do. I'm sliding into armchair director, which I don't want to do. So I'm going to immediately get up from that chair. Harry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how are you going to not play the full song at the end? You know, like cuts can be made, but perhaps not there. What you had said about the montage reminded me of like another dimension of this episode that I really like. And that is a lot again to explore, right? Which is just that, like, it's not just that, like, that Mr. Wynn is being devalued by his community, essentially, because like the real question they should all be asking is like, what is country, like the Mr. Wynn, the celebrity country singer, what makes him more valuable or more worthy of praise and attention than Mr. Wynn, the restaurant worker, right?
Exactly.
It's like, it's messed up that sort of frame of reference and value exists in that society, and in our society. But there's also like this great sort of like, there's this pain that you kind of want to explore, where it's like, there is something to the idea that like Mr. Wynn does have a gift that he maybe feels some obligation to share, right? Like he didn't turn down Arnold, not just because sort of, he didn't know how to say no, but maybe because he really thought like, I mean, I am good enough to be a professional. Does that create some obligation? And I really like this idea that the end of the episode is saying like, no, somebody, just because somebody has great talent and a lot to offer doesn't mean that they're obligated to share it with the world, right? It's sort of the Lucy Dacus, you don't have to be a creator, doesn't mean you have nothing to say. That was just for Jason, so hi, Jason. But I really like that dimension of it too, right? So this is such a great episode for exploring, like, even when any one of the dimensions that Arnold sort of incorporates into its structure falls flat a little bit, there's so much happening there that it's really impressive.
It's also kind of like in what is it, Batman versus Superman, when Clark Kent, aka Superman, for those unaware, is talking to his mother Martha Kent, and she says, "You don't know these people a thing." Cinematic parallels.
Yeah,
that is. There's no way that's a real movie, though. That's a real movie. Batman versus Superman?
Yeah.
It's
oh my,
God.
Oh my
it's,
gosh.
It's Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice is the full
colon
name
Dawn
of
Justice
film.
You're kidding me.
By the way,
me.
DC Comics, if you're listening, hey, drop us a line. We'll give you a more favorable plug next time. But for now, that was me saying, I don't have, go ahead.
I mean, Cody, you and I could crush a Young Justice podcast. We would absolutely do that. Like, if you hit us up, DC Comics, I would love to do a Young Justice. They're not going to hit me up. I don't know why I'm doing this plug.
You got to believe in something.
The podcast would just be less Artemis. Why did the show fail? Too much Artemis.
There's a lot.
Why
of Artemis.
Why did she keep being the main character? Artemis. You have like, I'm sorry. First of all, let me
no,
be real. I'm biased against all Arrow characters. That is not a good power. Stop trying to make us love that. It sucks every time. also like, is like she betrayed us. She's with us. She betrayed. You can only do one betrayal storyline per series. I'm sorry. You can't have multiple betrayal storylines with the same characters. That's just bad writing. I digress.
A Young Justice pivot was maybe the last thing I had in mind for this episode, but I am so brilliantly pleasantly surprised. And DC, that is, if you're listening, we know you're listening, that is just a snippet of the to be named later Young Justice podcast that we could helm for you if you want to. For now, though, I will open the floor to any lingering takes, final shout outs before we take it back to the rooftop and sing from our balconies instead of into microphones. I'm going to end this sentence.
See, the thing is that whenever Magan isn't on screen, all of the other characters should be asking, where's Magan? That is my big problem with Young Justice. In terms of this episode, shout outs as always to like Mr. Wynn. I really, really love this character. I'm so glad that he got another episode. I think that like it's so nice that we talked about the sort of second act of characters in this show. And I feel like just about any other show would have let the Christmas episode lie, right? Like it would have been like, that was Mr. Wynn's arc. That was like what we were doing with that character. And it's so great that like they picked him back up again and they gave him an arc that was like totally unrelated to that, except as Odell noted, because like his mentality was certainly shaped by his experiences. But it's so great that like, this is a show where like you're not done with these characters, right? It's like they have a plot, they have this arc, but you're going to see them again and something else is going to happen and that's going to further them again. I just really love that about this episode.
I've got some shade actually to throw in this episode that I usually don't, but we've talked before about Nocturnal Ned, and in this episode he's Nashville Ned. And I do know at this point in time that that's Craig Bartlett's voice and also character style is like he's drawn up to kind of look like a young Craig Bartlett, who we all obviously love. But the character of Nocturnal Ned / Nashville Ned is so aggravating to me, especially just how phony and baloney he is. He's a tool of the system, I get it, but... yeah, thank God. I guess he's always dropping donuts so that they can get a one-up on him. The kids can. But I also would like to throw shade at Oscar because, of course, Oscar wants to start writing songs with Mr. Wynn once he's famous to cash in. Freaking Oscar, man. And then finally, my last shout-out is not shade. It's a shout-out to Mr. Wynn when he's saying, man, I'm a rhinestone cowboy now and everything's so complicated. It's like, God, if I had a nickel for every time I felt the exact same way.
You know, I'm going to give a shout out because once we start talking about the episodes, the true hero of this episode is Travis Randall. Because I don't know how many people could set up a $1 million event, introduce someone as like the country's next biggest thing, be told that I never wanted to do this, and that got to be like, oh bro, no problem, like that's cool, like I don't even care about this, it's your life, well this is your first and last time, you know, carry on. I'm like, dang, he, because I was like he really just, he did what Gerald and Arnold couldn't do. It was just like, oh, you don't want to do this, well bro, I ain't gonna make you do this. This could be your first and last time. Like, I'm pretty sure if he would have said, I'm not even going to go sing the song at all, he would have been like, all right. And just left it at that. So shout out to him.
Agreed. That actually reminds me, too. I pulled up Randy Travis's Wikipedia because he was featured on a lot of other shows, either as like the voice or he just made appearances. So he was on Sesame Street. He was on Frasier. He's on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Hey Arnold, obviously here, Blue's Clues, and then a bunch of movies. I don't have to get into the whole list, but that's just cool. He's kind of been all over the place in the media world.
Yeah, keeping busy. And he found his way you know, not a direct path, an indirect path onto this humble little show of ours that I think we can now bring to a close here. And before we do, I just want to give it up once more for our guest, Odell Harmon Jr. Odell, thank you again so much for basking in the glorious shadow of our favorite football head with us. And if you could please remind us, where can people find you, and or do you have anything you would like to plug?
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the invite. I remember when Jason invited me, he was like, make sure you rewatch the episode. I was like, oh, don't you worry. That episode has been watched more times than you can imagine. But I did, and I had a great time. I loved it. And you can follow me at Odell Harmon Jr. on all your favorite social media, mostly Twitter. If you talk to me, I'll talk back, as I like to say. I do have a weekly gaming podcast called Full Circle Podcast. You can follow that at FC Podcast 23 on Twitter and Instagram, or just follow me and you'll see it. And that's about it. Video games are cool. Play more of them.
I'll have to take that advice myself. In the meantime, though, this has been Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Thank you for listening to it. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvison, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
Odell, we have to hold Cody to account on that, because I know this man, and he is not going to play more video games unless we absolutely force him to. So I 100% agree with that. Cody, we have it on recording. I'll see you soon. I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And thank you, Odell, so much for coming on. It's so cool to hear your thoughts. I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, practice your country and western singing voice, and bear in mind the simple things. For me, it don't add up to a hill of beans. I got no hankering for grabbing your brass ring. It's crystal clear, I'll stay right here and keep the simple things. I've got the summer breeze. Got 16 cans of peas, a two-speed window fan when it's 93 degrees. So forgive me for not grabbing your brass ring. It's crystal clear, I'll stay right here and keep the simple thing. It's crystal clear, I'll stay right here and keep the simple thing. And Odell, this is just where we awkwardly keep the recording running and just kind of open it up in case anybody needs a break, or just for us to catch our breath, stretch our legs.
Oh, okay. I'm good. I got me some nice sparkling water because it makes me think I'll lose weight and stop drinking less soda.
What flavor is it?
It's a lime, because if I close my eyes and use my imagination, it tastes like Sprite that went flat a little bit, and I'm cool with it.
That's my favorite kind of Sprite, actually. The Sprite from McDonald's that I leave in the fridge for, you know, 12 hours.
That is the thing about Sprite, right? Is that, like, its high highs are not as high, perhaps, as other sodas, but, like, it is so reliable. It's like the worst Sprite you've ever had is better than, like, a lot of the Dr. Pepper you've had or something like that. You know what I mean?
Ooh, that's a good take. The more I think about it, you're right, because I hate when I go to a restaurant because, you know, they never have the drinks listed. And I'm like, what do y'all have to drink? And I was like, Coke products, and I'm just like, Sprite, just because I'm gonna say lemonade. Yeah. Then I'm like, or no, I'll be like Fanta Orange. And I'm like, what's that? And I'm like, Sprite. It's just like you said, it's just all reliable.
Exactly, it's always there for you when you need it.
Exactly,
it's the comfort soda.
So what's that? We're up to two sponsorships now: Paramount Plus and Sprite.
I'm telling you, get on it. We know you're listening, representatives from those companies.